This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You know, dude does weed, big Z's into clams.
What was it about?
They both serve.
What was it about the character that appealed to you most?
See, you know, what really got me on board was this whole surfing aspect of things and how well they pulled the water element of this film off. You know, I said they're going to do a surfing movie. How are the waves going to look? You know, is it going to be almost like a photograph that you super? You know, I couldn't get it. And then they started to show me some of this footage that they had worked on. And that, being a surfer myself, it was a thrill to be able to be part of. You know, bringing to the audience what that feels like to be locked in the tube, and you know, that's kind of what got me on board.
What's the feeling you get from catching a wave?
Gee, I suppose it's different in each level. I'm a pretty basic surfer. I stopped surfing about 30 years ago, and I'm taking it up in the last 5 years again. You know. But I used to surf in high school all the time. It was pretty great. Now I'm kind of back to, you know, getting my my balance back and getting my turns down. But so it's kind of challenging for me, you know, and I'm worried about hurting myself, you know, just my back and so forth. So I'm in the process of, you know, kind of taking it, you know, very step at a time these days to make sure I can surf tomorrow, the next day. But it's a wonderful feeling whether you catch a wave or not. It's a bit like fishing, you know. You're out there, you're part of nature, you're sitting in the ocean looking at the land, you know. Most other times it's the other way around. You're sitting out and looking at the ocean, you know. There's something about it that gives you a different perspective on life, and you know, it's a wonderful metaphor, catching a wave, for how you can look at other challenges in your life.
So did your interest again in surfing kind of come about after you were going to be doing it?
No. I started getting interested before that, but it kind of all dovetailed together. You know, it was fun to be a part of this one.
How far is Big Z from your own personality?
Oh, he's pretty far. pretty far.
Have you seen the movie with the full audience
and the kids? I haven't. I haven't seen the final. You've probably seen the more recent version than I've seen. I've seen a pretty rough one.
A lot of actors have different takes on this whole process of voice recording. How do you respond to this disembodied kind of acting?
Well, it didn't feel like that. When we did it, you know, I had done animated films in the past, and that was kind of a lonely experience where you sit in the booth and you've got your sides and you're, you know, reading the stuff and imagining what the other person is saying or doing the scene to their playback. They're out in the room. But in this instance, the characters were often all there in the same room. I did a lot of work with Shia, who's a wonderful improviser, and we were really encouraged by the directors to do that as much as we cared to, and we did a lot of it. And there were cameras set up in the room that were capturing our movements and our expressions, and that was all, you know, going to help the animators. So it was a lot of fun. It didn't feel as lonesome as it had in passing, kind of, you know, clinical. It was really a fun experience, very loose.
Do you feel like you're losing part of your tool belt, like since you can't use your body?
Yeah, but it's, you know, there's always things like that in making movies, you know, where you, little parameters that you have to fit in. That's kind of part of the game of it, you know. I'm trying to think an analogy I could make. Well, it's just like, you know, you're playing football, you know, you got to stay in the lines. You can't just, you know, go over there, go up in the stands. Just so everything is kind of, you know, it's narrower and narrower, and sometimes you just have to, you know, use the tools that you're allowed to use as part of the game. And in this case, it wasn't about wardrobe or makeup or any of that stuff. So you use what you have.
Has surfing ever been adequately represented in movies? Do you have any favorite films of that sort?
Well, I remember, you know, probably the best are the documentaries, the old surf films. I just did narration for a wonderful documentary called Chasing the Lotus, and that's a lot of B-roll from all of the old surf films, and interview some of these great old surfers, and you really get a sense of what surfing's all about, and documentaries, I think, probably more than the fictitious versions of it.
You get the things like Point Break.
Yeah, they all had some great elements, great, great parts in them. I think, a lot of my friends were in there, and they did good work, I think. They all were surfers, so they added a certain authenticity to it.
You've been filming, I have to ask about Iron Man, but you've been filming for a little while. Can you talk about how it's been, the filming and working with the characters, and also, video made it online of the costume and motion, very mobile and stuff. Could you just talk about all that?
The costume in motion, you mean the Iron Man costume itself? Let's see. It's been wonderful working with Jon Favreau, who's the director of the film, and he's a wonderful actor that I've admired for a long time. I remember first seeing him in Swingers. Thought that was such a... He wrote that and did such a great job. And Robert Downey Jr. And we were talking about improvisation in this. Well, we're doing a lot of improvisation in Iron Man to discover scenes and getting off the written page and doing a lot of work like that. I know John is very interested in grounding it in as much in reality as he possibly can, and that's kind of informing the whole thing. Like the suit, for instance. I don't know if you saw the first suit, the primitive kind of suit, but it looks like that could happen. All plausible.
How far have the special effects come since Tron?
Man, leaps and bounds. I remember when we did Tron, we were so excited, seeing it. And then I remember about a week after the opening, going home and seeing all that technology in a commercial. They just, boom, and it just made it passe, like that. And that's the way technology is. It happens so fast.
I'm going to just go back to the film for a second. Are you still filming it?
Oh, yeah. Go back to work tomorrow, yeah.
And how much longer do you have on?
June, mid-June.
Are you planning, have you ever been to Comic-Con, and are you going this summer?
Comic-Con, no, what is Comic-Con?
San Diego.
It's the San Diego convention, but it's a lot of comics and a lot of movie people. Have they asked you to attend this?
No.
Are you into sci-fi and fantasy?
I used to read comics when I was a kid. Was he part of the? He wasn't part of the Fantastic Four, was he? No, he was in the Avengers, right? Yeah, no, I wasn't too much into Iron Man. I was more of a. I was into Superman. I was into Green Lantern.
Silver Surfer.
Not Silver Surfer. No, I didn't get into him. I shouldn't be saying that. Those are DC guys, aren't they? Is Green Lantern Marvel or DC?
DC.
Yeah.
are you filming or are you using digital cameras?
Film.
And have you worked with Gwyneth? Have you seen
a little bit? We haven't. We've got some scenes coming up, but I haven't worked with her too much yet.
And I want to talk about obviously Surf's Up as well. But with Surf's Up, can you talk about the animation in it and just you. I guess what I'm trying to do is that. Can you talk about your character and did you have any influence on the look or?
Not too much. I tried to get the guy. I said, "Gee, you got the Big Z. He's kind of a fat penguin, man. You give him a, give him a little more tone." He said, "No, that's going against the story." I said, "Yeah, you're probably." But no, I didn't have too much to say about his his look or anything like that. I got a kick out of it. It was kind of it's kind of funny.
It's the same way that he sees a surfer that has possibilities. Do you see young actors and you get enthusiastic? How far can they go?
Say that. Say the first part of that.
The same way that this guy when he sees Cody. He realized that he has a lot of potential.
Oh, yeah.
But, and I wonder, as an actor, when you work with a young guy, Do you see that and sometimes try to tune that potential on? Or?
Sure. Well, when we were making the movie, there was a bit of that, you know, you could transpose surfing for acting in a sense that, you know, Shia and I are both actors, and we, you know, did it since we were kids, and you know, we would play together. So that's, you know, there's a lot of play in acting. You know, like when you were a kid and you used to pretend and that sort of thing. It's kind of like that. Not that it doesn't have to be serious. You can play very serious. You know, they even call you when you play the. They call it playing the piano, whether you're playing, you know, Bach or, you know, whatever. It could be very serious music, but there's an element of play to it that goes for surfing and goes for acting. And so, yeah, certainly I think playing with Shia, there was a lot of that that same kind of sense. Not so much teaching somebody, because he's a wonderful improviser and... is a great willingness that he has to play, you know, to maybe be the fool, you know, or not, you know. And so we got to surf together, we got to play together. It was a lot of fun.
Jeff,
can
you talk a little bit about the uke versus the uke?
Yes. What?
The uke versus the uke.
Now, what is that? Because is that in the movie? Do I say that in the movie?
Yeah.
The song's the song. Over the...
See, I heard that they were putting that song in, but I hadn't heard it yet.
Oh, it
works? Oh, yeah? Oh, great. God, that's funny. When I was recording, one of my friends says, you know, it's not a ukulele, it's a ukulele.
Ukulele.
And so, you know... I went on, and they must have had the mic on and recorded that. I didn't know they were going to do that.
Yeah, but do you play?
I played it. That's me playing. Yes, and that song was written by perhaps my oldest friend, a guy named John Goodwin, and we go back to the fourth grade together. We've been, you know, making music and making art and playing together all these years, and whenever I make a movie. He would say, so, you know, what's the movie about? I'll write a song. I said, oh, yeah, okay, and I'll throw it in there. I remember he was over one day, and I was working on it, and I was telling him about the movie, and he came back. I told him what the movie was about. He came back an hour later and said, here, what do you think? He played that song on me. And he also has a song in, I don't know if any of you saw Tideland. You did see Tideland?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're one of the few. But that first song in Tideland... Van Gogh in Hollywood, that's also written by John.
He's good.
Yeah, he's very good. He's got a song in quite a few of my movies, actually.
And what about Gerard Ahobi, taking photos? Did you took pictures through an animated...
No, I think that's part of my life may be over. Not over, I shouldn't say that, but I was into it in such a groove, you know, where I don't know how many movies I did that on. And probably some of you guys got those books, maybe I might have passed them out. And then I put a compilation of all those books together in a big kind of coffee table book, and that was kind of, I felt like kind of hatched my egg, you know. Now I got to fill up again or something, I don't know. I haven't been taking pictures as much.
About joy in your craft, because this is what this movie is really about, is finding the joy in it. And
that's true.
So how you've been doing this since you're a kid, how do you keep that joy in there so you don't turn into Big Z and go off in a cage?
Yeah. Well, different things come to mind when you say that. Things that my mom would often say, remember, don't take it too seriously. I say, oh, yeah, thanks. My wife, whenever I go off to work and I'll be kind of anxious, she'll say, remember, have fun. She says, oh, I forgot. Thanks for the reminder. And sometimes we do forget. We take it all too seriously, and there's a lot of joy to be had in just about wherever you are, you know. Tap in and kind of get out of your way, and there it is.
So you could relate to that part of the character, didn't you?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that part of the story is very good, I think.
Did you have a similar relationship with Bo?
With Cody? Me being Cody, Bo being
right,
Big Z?
Right.
Not really, no. Bo was, you know, he's 8 years older than I am. And he was almost like, and my dad was working a lot in those days, so it was kind of like a, you know, a surrogate father. He taught me all the sports. He was always small for his age. I was always big for my age. But he was an excellent athlete, and he was scouted by the Dodgers. He played on UCLA basketball team with Walt Hazard, you know, and Wooden and all that, you know. And so he would kind of, you know, since I was bigger for my age, he would teach me all the sports stuff and then, you know, kind of vicariously have me go out and, you know, be his knight or whatever. And I enjoyed it for a while. It was, you know, fun to be close with him. But I think, you know, I didn't get into the competitive side of it, you know. He has a wonderful way. My father had this, too, of getting great joy out of competition. And maybe it's just that I am so competitive that I don't like to even get in there. I don't like to lose. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But Bola, my dad, would love to compete. You know, they played tennis and all of that stuff.
Well, it's like the Seinfeld.
Oh God, yeah, he just loved that, you know, and it was good, but he had a lot of joy. He didn't do it with, you know, sour grapes or anything like that. They both loved sports very much, but it was a different relationship.
On the photos, are you not tempted on your current movie, Iron Man, because it's so visual?
Sort of, but not really, because I'm kind of a supporting player in it, so I'm missing a lot of the action, you know, the every day-to-day, you know, work in the thing. And also, a lot of the special effects are going to happen in post. So there's not really, you know, too much there. And it's kind of frustrating with this Wide-Lux camera. You know, it shoots film. There's no focus. The light in the places where you film is usually so low, so, you know, to get a good, you know, shot is kind of tough. And I kind of got out of the groove of it for some reason.
For those of us who don't know comic books, who are you playing and why does he have this look?
I'm playing Obadiah Stane, who in the movie version is Tony Stark. That's Robert Downey's character, Iron Man, so kind of his mentor. And I run his company, Stark Enterprises.
So the beard is for the beginning of the film?
No. The beard is just there, you know.
Figure that out.
Huh? Yeah.
So what's after Iron Man? Do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, after Iron Man, I just signed on. I don't know if it's official yet, but I believe it is. Gene, you there?
Yeah, it is.
It is official? A movie called, I hope I get this title right. Don't tell me. It's called How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
With Simon Pegg and Kristen Dunst.
There you go. That's right.
What character do you play in that?
I play the head of the chief editor of a magazine. That Simon is working for.
You're right?
Yeah, well, kind of. I think it's loosely based on that. It's based on a book by the same title, I think. That was can't think of the guy's name who wrote the book, but Toby something. Yeah.
Have you seen Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz?
I saw both of those, and I'm a fan of Simon Pegg. I think he's great. Yeah, I like Shaun of the Dead a lot. I think it was wonderful.
Are you still doing anything with your music just for fun or for...
I play all the time. I played not too long ago. I think I've got another album in me. I'm, you know, getting my buddies together and collecting songs. My friend John Goodwin, he's got a lot of music. If you go on my website, by the way, and you go into the music page, you can hear a lot of John's music. You can stream his album that's available on iTunes, and it's called Up to Here. John Goodwin, not good man, but good man.
You gonna go play here?
No, I'm not. I'm leaving tomorrow. I gotta go back to work. But I had an interview up there with Kelly Slater. We just met, and it would have been great to go out there and surf with him.
Longboard or shortboard?
I'm a longboard guy. I mean, how about you? You're a surfer.
Longboard.
You're longboard. Yeah. I don't understand how they do this, the shortboard thing at all.
Well,
I mean, I don't get it.
That's not soul surfing.
I don't know, the artistic front, I mean, no photo, but is there any other thing that you want to do, painting?
I do a lot of ceramics, and my website's kind of fun for me. I get to, you know, do drawings on that, and it's kind of fun. And a lot of family time these days. Mm-hmm. You know, my oldest daughter, Isabel, is getting married, mm-hmm. so we're kind of all gearing up for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Unlike my father, I didn't make it as available to them as he did with us, you know. And I'm kind of, you know, not that my dad was a parent or anything, but he just enjoyed it so much, and he wanted to turn his kids on to it, you know. And he was right. I mean, I enjoyed it myself and had a wonderful life because of it. But I went through a period when I was younger where it was awkward for me. You know, whenever you're the child of a famous person, you get judged, you know, in odd ways because of that. And then I remember when I first started my, you know, acting, I thought, oh, I'm just got this job because of who my father's, a lot of nepotism stuff. And, you know, I'm a product of nepotism, I got to say. I don't think I would have gotten into it if my father wasn't so enthusiastic. Anyway, I chose to not do that with my kids, and I'm kind of regretting that a little bit now, because now they're in their 20s and they're at that, you know, that crossroads when they're starting to ask themselves, you know, well, what am I going to do? And I would say, you know, do you ever think about acting? You know, you got it in your blood, you know, you got, you know, three generations of it, and I'll help you, you know, work on the stuff, and, you know, and they said, I don't think so. So, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if any of them kind of stumble into it some way.
Last question.
Are you going to be an easygoing father-in-law or like a meet the parents?
I'll be an easygoing father-in-law. The guy that she's marrying, Brandon Besh, is a wonderful guy, and they've known each other for many, many years, toured Europe together, so I figure they can survive Europe. You know,
thank you. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you. Nice talking with you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. We do miss those photo books.
Oh.
Yeah.